Hello, welcome, and thank you for downloading the Missouri Review podcast. We're broadcasting from the University of Missouri campus in sunny Columbia, Missouri, home of the Missouri Review, the quarterly that brings you the best contemporary literature in fiction, nonfiction, and poetry. Every week, we'll be featuring a wide range of stories, poems, essays, and interviews from authors featured in both our print and online editions. On today's podcast, we will continue broadcasting the winners and finalists of our 2011 audio contest. To introduce our next author, here is our contest editor, Claire McQuarrie.
This week's podcast features Rachel Yoder's essay, I'm White and I'm Mennonite, which was the first place winner of our 2011 audio competition in the prose category. Rachel Yoder edits Draft, the Journal of Process, a publication which features stories, first drafts, and interviews with the author. She holds an MFA in fiction from the University of Arizona and an MFA in nonfiction from the University of Iowa, where she was an Iowa Arts Fellow. Her writing has appeared in the New York Times, Sun Magazine, and Kenyon Review, among others, and has been selected for anthologies including Best of the Web 2010 and Rumpus Woman. She currently lives in Iowa City and teaches creative writing in the community. For more information, please visit her website, www.racheloyoder.com.
I am a white girl. I have no misconceptions about this. You might even say I'm exceptionally white, since I was raised in an intentional Mennonite community, or as I like to call it, the hippie intellectual Mennonite utopia. It was this kind of back-to-basics, purist Mennonite living experiment where all these leftover hippie types who read too much Thoreau in college banded together and decided, yeah, we're real Mennonites and we're going to be true to our ideals and have gardens and dirty kids and chickens and read The New Yorker and listen to Leonard Cohen, but above all, love Jesus and be against the death penalty and make lots of casseroles. We moved to the Mennonite utopia when I was 8. Before that, we had lived in Hartville, the small Ohio town where my father grew up, also known as the nexus of the Mennonite and Amish universe. In Hartville, there were clods of horse poop all over the roads, and this place called Hartville Kitchen, where big-bosomed Amish ladies served you heaping portions of mashed potatoes and noodles. So here's the thing. When we moved to Deer Spring, we also happened to move smack dab into the center of Hickville, USA, also known as Coshocton County, Ohio.
Hello. I have a ring or Maytag washer I'd like to sell, and I'm on $125 for it.
West Lafayette was the closest two-stoplight town where I would go to junior high and high school and become best friends with Nikki Fisher. The thing I loved about Nikki was, even though her parents were straight-up mountain people who chain-smoked and called West Lafayette Lafayette, even though she was as local as a person could get, she hated it there almost as much as I did. Why did we hate Coshocton County, other than we were teenagers and it was our job, nay, our destiny, to hate anything and everything without exception? The reasons, my friend, are threefold. First, redneck teenagers and all their accoutrements. Pickup trucks, Wranglers, rat tails, keggers in cornfields, and backwoods accents. Second, country music of the Garth Brooks, Billy Ray Cyrus, Hank Williams Jr. varieties, twanging and horrific.
Blaming all on my roots, I showed up in boots and ruined your black tie affair.
And the third reason we hated Coshocton was an amalgam of the first two reasons, with a big dose of pre-Civil War, Confederate flag-waving racism thrown in. Boys at our school carried coon hunting permits in their wallets, pulled them out during class to pass around. The local chapter of the Ku Klux Klan marched once a year on Town Square. At school, I read the morning announcements over the PA system and had fantasies of reciting militant black poetry. I didn't do this, though. Instead, Nikki and I listened to Jodeci. Nikki and I were mesmerized every morning as we drove down the potholed road, over the river, and into West Lafayette, lulled to consciousness by JoJo's chant of, "I wanna freak you." We endured West Lafayette, Ridgewood High School, future farmers of America, the round hay bales lolling on the school grounds, the pervasive smell of hog crap from the nearby hog farm. We sat silently as kids told racist jokes, and when we didn't laugh, asked, "You got a problem or something?" And then what did we do? We got in the maroon Ford Tempo, we loaded the tape deck, and we drove. Creeping down the back street on D's. I got my Glock cock, 'cause niggas want these. No sooner as I said it. After high school, I enrolled at Georgetown University on scholarship, eager to watch Allen Iverson play basketball and befriend black people. When I got there, I learned Iverson had dropped out of college to join the NBA and that the place was teeming with rich white kids in polo shirts blasting the Dave Matthews Band. I roomed with a debutante from North Carolina and a Minnesotan cheerleader who listened to this soul-numbing music, melodic and bassless, the soaring brays of whiteness. I had applied to Georgetown because I thought it would be gritty and hardcore. But Georgetown sat on the most northern border of D.C. There wasn't even a metro stop there, and the neighborhood felt almost suburban with its wrought iron fences and brownstones with freshly painted trim. Also, to my surprise, no one at Georgetown was all that interested in holding hands in racial harmony and frolicking around in jubilation. It seemed like I was supposed to hang out with the white kids, but I didn't get the prep schoolers.
As a member of the North Shore Beach Yacht Club, you will have this $300,000 clubhouse.
I didn't click with the soft and medicated suburbanites or loud New Jerseyans or blondies from California wearing flip-flops, and I certainly didn't understand the diplomat brats, the young Republicans, or anyone who went skiing on winter vacation. The only person who I really wanted to hang out with freshman year was Patrice, a Haitian boy from Silver Spring, Maryland. He practiced scratching on a turntable in his dorm room and played me go-go. After, he beatboxed me into the corner and we started making out. That year, we made out in his bed, his roommate's bed, my bed, the stairwell, empty shower stalls, the elevator. But Patrice and I didn't hang out in public, and I was pretty sure this was at least in part because I was a white girl. I sat in my dorm room and listened to Two Live Crew to try and cheer myself up. That is, until the Minnesotan cheerleader walked in. I specifically noted on my roommate's survey that I liked the Rolling Stones and the Violent Femmes. I didn't ask to live in Compton. I wanted to tell her that Two Live Crew was actually from Florida, not L.A., but instead kept quiet. I mean, like, who are you? She asked. Good question.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do.
I decided to try out for a new a cappella group forming on campus. For my audition, I sang Good Love by Jodeci. Michael Burns, a friend and the guy running the audition, toppled over in his chair, laughing when I started singing.
In the morning when I open up my eyes, I still be feeling high from the love you gave last night.
I continued, and when I was done, he told me I was in.
but they just think I'm crazy. You're no more do I fit in, girl.
Our name was Superfood, and we were not good. Our director was this 6'4", gigantic Indian guy named Ajit, who was always jacked on coffee. Tina sang soprano with me and was constantly worried about lyrics and whether or not her Muslim dad would get mad if he ever heard her sing them. And Sherman Wooden, a motor-mouthed black guy with braces who lived on my floor, sang tenor. We covered Enya, James Taylor, Rusted Roots, and even Dave Matthews. But this was okay because I actually began to appreciate this kind of music, music beyond hip-hop. We added more people to our group, Anushka, Laquan, Carmelo, Jean Han, Mona, Molly David. We practiced, and we got better. We traveled to Duke and NYU. We sang to hundreds of people who actually cheered when we came on stage.
There are places I remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever.
Years later, the Minnesotan cheerleader would confess, on the occasion of our 5-year reunion, that she was jealous I had Superfood back in college. I mean, you had these like really good friends, she said, like a group of people who were awesome. I never had that at Georgetown. Huh, I thought she had been a fish in water, an Anglophone among Anglophones. But of course, what I hadn't realized when I was 18 was that everyone felt freakish, that we were all looking for our chance to fit in, that we had all been looking for our place in the world.
Do, 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 do. But in my life, I loved you more.
Do, do.